As Sam was saying, Lord, we pray, and he listed a number of things to pray for. And we're given something to pray for in Psalm 122:6. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And may all those prosper who love her. And so, over the last year, we've had a couple of speakers talking about how to love Muslims and reach Muslims. And that's a big issue for us, because the opposite of that is not reaching Muslims. And we've been challenged, if you don't win them, they'll rue you. So we've had some good challenges there. And we've got a young man, Phil Hanlon. Phil, come on up here, buddy. Y'all give Phil a hand as he comes up here, will you? Phil's become a real close buddy of mine. He's a firefighter. He's a father of two. He has a marriage that God resurrected from the grave, and he's got a great story about how great his marriage is today. But you know, the reason I've asked Phil to come up here today is God gave him a passion. And when Phil gets a passion, get out of his way. I got to tell you that right now. He went into his daughter's school and cleaned up a junk pile, made a garden, started a father's group, has 100 fathers in the school involved in this group. So, like I said, get out of his way if he has a passion. And I said, Phil, come and share your heart with us on the passion that God's given you for Israel. Amen. So, guys, that's what we're going to hear right now.
Thank you, Pete. I turned it on. I don't know. The challenge is going to be not to get distracted by this thing. Pete, you have to wear this every week? This little microphone? Okay. Make sure it doesn't fall off. Good morning, guys. Absolute honor and privilege to just be a part of this group of guys, let alone to actually get the opportunity to come share with you. So I've been praying that I would just be able to just shut up so God can talk. And he's been all over me these last few days, so I hope that happens. But I brought a friend here. Tim, can you raise your hand? Let me just show you. Is anybody else here for the first time? Anybody else for the first time? All right. So you guys especially. Yeah, right? I wanted to have that for sure. Keep coming back, okay? You're going to hear from me this morning. I apologize for that. But the last 6 years of my life, I've grown more spiritually as a man of God. And through that resurrected marriage, coming back from that, and God landed me right here. And I walked through those doors, and God said, you're home. Amen. That's what I felt. So, I'm glad I grabbed this. Right before I walked up here, I'm like, I might need a little. So, forgive me. But anyway, it's passionate. Can I be passionate with you guys this morning? I needed to ask that too, okay? I have a tendency to get fired up, and there's nothing that's going to fire me up more than this. So, and with that, let's pray. Father, I'm standing up here, most unlikely of characters to bring anything to anybody. And so if I could just ask you, Lord, to just quiet me down and have these men hear whatever you have for them this morning. I got some notes here, Lord. You and me wrote them. But whether we stick too close to them or not, Father, just speak. Holy Spirit, fill this place. We're talking about your chosen people. And wherever we bring up that subject, the enemy has assigned his most fierce competitors. But they have no authority. So Lord, would you remove the enemy from this place? In Jesus' name, these are your men. Let them hear your voice and your voice only. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right, guys. So I made this cool little thing. I don't know if I'm going to stick to it or not, but you guys can hang on to it. He just landed on me yesterday and we started writing. And so these are the points that I want to cover. But really, it starts with it starts with how I got up here or how I ended up in this place. And it's my fault. I asked for it in a way I didn't really realize. But some years ago, I started to pray the prayer repeatedly. My go-to prayer was, God, break my heart for the things that break yours. I want to love what you love, and I want to hate what you hate. Hallelujah. Right? And so, careful what you ask for. And you want to see the world through his eyes, that's what's going to happen. So, that included everything, right? I began to have a love for people that I never had before. My servant's heart just grew 100 sizes. But then out of nowhere came this call to bless Israel. And it hit me like a ton of bricks at a Firefighters for Christ meeting in Long Beach. I'm a fireman there. We were meeting, and one of the firemen brought a guy. And the Holy Spirit just landed in that room. You guys know about the bomb shelter missions we've been doing. We did two bomb shelter missions over the last 2 years, but what God said to me was, this is what's next. And this is what's next for me in my walk with him. This is what's next for this group, believe it or not. He literally put a vision of Bill Cobble right in front of me as he spoke these words to bring this to him. So sorry about that. But here we are a few years later, right? And then also this is what's next for the rest of the world. If you guys are familiar with Revelation, and you know, we're all at different levels, right? I'm still trying to figure this whole Christian life out, and whether you're just trying to get that one sin out of your life, or whether you're well on and 50 years into this walk with God, you know, either way, it doesn't matter. We're in the right place, and this message is going to land, I think, right where it's supposed to. So I followed the call, and it's led me through this amazing adventure. I can't believe it. Where's my guys who went on the missions to Israel with us? Where you at? I couldn't believe we were going to Israel until I got off the plane in Israel. You know what I'm saying? And my heart is that I could actually facilitate a way for everyone in this room to come to Israel with us on these missions that we're going to be doing. Okay, we're changing it up a little bit. I'm not here to talk about our mission. I'm not here to talk about our purpose specifically, but I will be here to talk about it more whenever you want. We're going to bless the soldiers of Israel, the protectors of Israel. They have an unbelievable war coming at them, whether all of them realize it or not. It's unstoppable. It's in the Bible, so it's going to happen. And these are kids. These are 18 to 23-year-old people, so God put them on our heart next. And so we're going to go them, and our mission is simple. We want them to feel loved and appreciated. Pretty simple, right? But we're going to go across the world to do it. And there's so much power in that. And the Holy Spirit shows up when a Christian who carries the love of Jesus Christ, their Messiah, whether they know it or not, there is an amazing response that happens that you don't even need to come with tracts or hit them over the head with the gospel or challenge them to tell you why Jesus, it doesn't even, it's just a love. It's just a love that God brings. So here we are, followed faithfully in that, and he's led us all the way to the point where Ryan Van Dusen and I have actually started and officially, just like last week, became an official nonprofit organization. We got our nonprofit thing, thanks to Ryan's diligence. Yeah. Yeah. So it just got real. And he and I are traveling next month. God's got us going on a specific mission. We're going to lay groundwork, and then next year we plan to start bringing teams over to do this thing. So more on that later. It's an absolute privilege to be here. I wanted to make sure and share that. And anyway, so diving into God's Word. If we're not talking about something that's in God's Word, we shouldn't even probably be talking. And that's the whole premise for everything, right? So you guys know as well as I do that Israel is how he told the whole story, right? The whole Old Testament is this nation of Israel. And it woke me up when God called me that Israel is like a real place still. And there are people that are Israelites. You know what I mean? Not that I was like living under a rock and like delusional, but all of a sudden it was like, oh, there's people right now that are God's chosen people. They exist now in my time. It was this whole enlightenment. You know, God's big on awakenings, right? So these people still exist. And so when we look at the Bible and we look at what's going on, we have to know that God's plan for Israel is not concluded. It's not done. It's ongoing. And guess what? We are the plan. Okay? And so when we look at things, we know Abraham and the promise that God gave Abraham, and I see some of you guys are wearing it on your shirt. I love those shirts. In Genesis 12:3, right, where he said, I'm going to make you into a great nation. Anybody who blesses you, I'm going to bless. Anybody who curses you, I'm going to curse. And through you, the whole world is going to be blessed. And kind of let that echo for a second, because you don't need to go much farther than that, right? I mean, we have a lot of like things we can invest in and a lot of things we can put our trust in and a lot of, right? I should get a good return. If I put it in here, it looks like it's going to make sense. This is God. The God of the universe says, if you bless Israel, I will bless you. So even if you come at this whole idea with like, okay, I trust God. I may not understand who the Jewish people are, or who this guy's saying the Jewish people are to me, but God's saying, if I bless them, I will be blessed. We could just kind of like drop the mic and exit stage right on that note, right? But he goes on and tells story after story after story. And the whole Old Testament is where we learn God's character through what Israel went through. We know our Father and who he is because of all these stories. We know his love, his unending love and faithfulness, his goodness, his kindness, right? We see them rebel against God and go over here, we're going to worship a golden cow now. And it's like, what, you know, but he waits. And when they come back to them, he's there to, right? We learn, before we can spiritually connect with him, we read the words and we learn who he is. And it's all through what these people had to go through, you know. You guys ever seen Fiddler on the Roof? You know, where he's like, you know, I know we're God's chosen people, but God, could you for once choose someone else, you know? Right? So, I mean, you can look through history, and it's the ancient history, and it's the modern history too. Because what happened on the cross, they didn't all get it, obviously, right? And so, when you read the Old Testament, it's all about the whole story of Israel. I got that cool little drawing I found on the back of your guys' handout. I mean, the Bible is silent for about 400 years, and they're waiting for a Messiah, and they're under oppression, and there's, right? And then he comes, and not all of them saw that. They missed it. They were waiting for a big guy with a sword and a shield to come start lobbing Roman heads off, and our Savior comes in peace, right? Next time it's going to be a little bit different when he comes back, but here he was, Jesus, right? This perfect, loving, blameless, irresistible figure is moving through Israel. In his 3 years of ministry, he did more miracles, and the Bible says that could even be recorded. We've got enough in that Bible just to read. You just read those words, you see what happened, and it blows your mind. And he proved one over and over again that he is who he says he is. And he had thousands of people following, right? This is, so the gospel. You guys are familiar with the gospel. Let's recap real quick. Thousands of people are following him, right? And you've got to know, like, if I'm them and I'm being oppressed by the Romans and my kids are starving and we've got these evil force and we're waiting for a savior according to God's law and everything it says in our Torah and all these books, and now there's a guy around that looks like he could do it, I'm getting excited, right? This is it. This could be it. God finally sent this savior. And so he enters Jerusalem in peace. And I'm part of this crowd. And before I know it, that same person who I thought was going to be the answer is on in front of all of us, beaten and bloody, and barely even able to stand as he's getting tried. You know what I'm saying? And I lose hope. Maybe he's not who I thought he was. Then you've got the religious leaders who are so lost. They miss the first part of God's, which is love God with all your heart and love all the people around. They've got this religious stood up off of God's word that's, Jesus came to knock that over, and he broke down all those barriers in his walk. He's going to people to love people that you weren't even allowed to love. He's crossing every boundary, and they don't know what to do with him. They're freaking out. So they've got him on trial, and it looks like they're winning. And so we lose hope, and so the mob mentality takes over, right? And suddenly, I'm sure a lot of them, maybe not all of them, maybe the Jesus followers just left the city, but you got to think that those that were in Jerusalem at the time, all those thousands who were chanting, crucify him, some of them had to be those that were just following him a few days ago who now were so brokenhearted to see that they were wrong, they thought. You know what I'm saying? What I'm speaking to here is now that the fact that we have a tendency, and there's a huge thinking out there that there's a replacement theology, that the Jews killed Jesus and so now they're done. And that is nowhere in the Bible. And I can sit here and sort through it just from a standpoint of knowing God how I know him. I mean, does that sound like the God that you know? Right? Did he go take Israel and give them a promise all the way through everything that they went through, only to get to a point where now that the Christians are on scene, to hell with you? Like, literally? That doesn't sound like the God I know, right? Right? And if my daughters reject Jesus, excuse me, if I reject Jesus, are my daughters, I hope not, are they going, are they down, right? They still have the opportunity. So just getting away with that. But I can sit there and empathize with the mob mentality, because everyone in here is capable of having a mob mentality, especially if you're far away from the truth. And so they crucified him. And really, we have to remember, of course, that the devil inspired all that. Our war is not against those people. Our war is against the spiritualities, the principalities of darkness that are behind all this. And the devil, amen. And the devil, I have a feeling, thought that he was winning. He knows scripture better than probably most of us, probably all of us, right? But sometimes I'm of the thinking that he thinks he's going to win this thing. He's a fool. So he's working out plans, and he's thinking, if I could just kill Jesus for everyone to see, then that's going to win this thing, right? I'm thinking something along those lines. So he's getting this whole thing swelled against, and he's cheering when he dies. But then when he comes out of that tomb a couple days later, you can imagine it's like, okay, that didn't work, you know? And it's like, okay, now what? All right, the Jews, let's get them, you know. And so the devil's behind it all. And Jesus defeated sin and death when we didn't even know that that was our biggest problem. And he still does that all the time right now, right? We want him to, my job is falling, my finances are falling apart, my marriage is in the tank. You pick any one thing and this is what you want him to affect. But he is so good and all-knowing that he's so far above that, that all you need to want is just whatever he wants. All you need to want is to want his heart. You want to have his heart, and then it's all-encompassing. So he showed up, and when we would have told him to do something else, he still went to that cross, went and suffered that death for all of us, suffered that beating, went to hell for a few days. Imagine what that would have been like. And then came roaring back in, and he's here today. So he's in all of our hearts moving because of that. And so we're left with the question, you know, what now with Israel? I mean, there's a lot to talk about now. Go bless all nations, he said. Jesus said, go give it, take me everywhere. And the disciples were game on, right? Christians are now on the scene and the church began. But Paul writes about in Romans 11, and I would encourage you guys to go read it. And I don't know how I missed it for all that time. I mean, I've read that chapter plenty of times, but it wasn't until God wanted me to see what was in it. You ever had that? I've been in this part of the Bible before, but it's never spoken this to me. That's how he works, right? Because God's word is alive, right? It's coming at you. He's speaking through it. If you're secular, you're not believing, you can read it like a book, go one cover to cover, put it back on the shelf, like, I don't get it. But if you know the Lord and he will speak through you, that's what happened. So I encourage you to go read Romans chapter 11. And what you'll find right off the bat and all through that chapter is, so now what? Is Israel cut off? They missed their Messiah. Are they cut off now? And it's certainly not exclamation point. And Paul's writing, he's like, hello. I mean, Paul got saved after Jesus ascended. See what I'm saying? Paul's saying, I'm the first example. Because if Israel's cut off, then what am I doing here? And I don't know if we know this, but Apostle Paul ended up kind of being a big deal. Two-thirds of the New Testament. I mean, the gospel just hit the all corners of the earth a lot from what he was pushed. I mean, this guy was on fire for the Lord. A completed Jew, right, that after Jesus. So the new story is already kind of outlined in how that guy is. And we find that in Romans 11. And we see that the plan still exists. God's not done with Israel yet. And in fact, we play a role in it. And that's, I think, what I'm here mostly to wrap our hearts around, okay? And just prayerfully accept what I'm saying, that we are to provoke them to jealousy is what the words say in that chapter. Let me put it another way. We are to attract them to the love of Christ, okay? And we're not going to do that with an email. We're not going to do that with a billboard. I mean, you can donate, and you're paying a part in the cause, and that's beautiful, but nothing aside, it's hand-to-hand combat of the love kind. You know what I'm saying? It's us going there and blowing their minds. Who are you? We are some crazy Christians from America. And what are you doing here? We came here because we worship the God of Israel, the God of love, and you are his chosen people, and we love you, and we have your back. And we just want you to put a face with that notion. For whatever you're going to face in the future, whatever may come, at least know that these are people who love you, because the whole world hates them. You know, at least that's what they have in their mind. And the media certainly helps push that onto them. So it's that radical love that brings that love of Christ. And when they ask, why do you believe in Jesus? There it is. There's laws in Israel. We can't exactly go and evangelical. I love what Greg Laurie does, believe me. I love Harvest Crusades. But we are probably not going to fill a stadium and invite him down to the baseball field and have a big, how awesome would that be? Ryan, that's maybe we'll work on that later. But it's not going to happen like that, guys, and that's okay. It's going to be in the loving embrace that we bring. So now, you guys with me so far? I don't even know. Okay. So where are we now? Us, this generation of Christians, Christ followers. We are between Jude and Revelation, right? The Bible's been written, the Old Testament, the Gospels happened, the letters, all the things that were gathered, all the writings, the 65 of the 66 books, right? This happens, and then now we've got this Bible, and we're living in between because Revelation is this vision that God gave John, right? And he showed him all these things that are going to come. And so they're going to come. So we're waiting for that. So we can turn to Revelation and see a little bit about what I'm talking about. You guys have heard of the 144,000, right? You read that, it's Revelation's kind of parallels. It's cut in half and kind of parallel. So chapter 7 and chapter 14 parallel. So I camp out in chapter 7. And in Revelation 7, there's the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, ancient 12 tribes of Israel. So in other words, they're still here. They're still descendants. They are going to become this, like, most powerful evangelical force like the world has ever seen, is how I read it. He sees 144,000 that have the seal of the Lamb that are completed Jews. They are Messianic Jews. That's what they are. These are people who were searching. They come from the Jewish background, like some of our brothers here, who I just loved to pieces. And they found it, and they realized Jesus is the Messiah. These people, and I look at them as 144,000 Apostle Pauls. You know what I'm saying? Is anybody ready for 144,000 Apostle Pauls to be on scene right now? You know what I'm saying? So, because I watch the news, and I look at the world that my daughters are staring down, and I'm not too happy about it. You know what I mean? It's biblical. I see where it's all going. I got faith. I don't get scared. I see it. I mean, and you know, as a fireman, we see the worst side of humanity on a regular basis right in the local area every day. So, I don't know, and God uses that ability of my heart to kind of funnel through the news, and I also don't watch the news very often. That's another secret. But when I do turn into it, I mean, I wrote it down. I wrote this thing on why to love your neighbors. I don't know if some of you guys read that, but I started listing like the top world issues, and I got through about 60 to 70 of them, 67. This, racism, nuclear war, Iran, ISIS, you know what I mean? And it just went on. Everything I could think, I'm just sitting there, I'm like, that's probably enough. And that, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg of issues that if we, this generation that's right now, if we don't turn the corner on them, they're going to turn into the recipe for the collapse. It's all there. And so I'm looking at that, and I'm like, okay, so when can we get these 144,000 started? You know what I'm saying? Let's get, because they are going to be, look at what Christianity has done. Look at the love. We're taking a beating in the media, but I don't care. They say we're losing political stance. We're losing popularity in the media. Fine. I don't care. That's not what it's about, right? The love of Christ moves beyond whatever the media decides to put on a TV screen. And the love that people are receiving on this planet right now from Christians, you know what I'm talking about. And beyond that, John says, beyond the 144,000, I see a number that no one could count of the rest of us, the rest of the Christians. In other words, he puts them in a place of leading us. So, and the devil knows that too, right? And he knows that's in that last book. So he knows that when those 144,000 are coming to light, his number's almost pulled, right? And he's going to be spending his eternity in the lake of fire. So he's standing against it. So how do those 144,000, if they are coming, how are they going to come to be? Like I said, us. So if we could just wrap our heads around that for a second and understand that we have a role, not only because God said, look, I will bless you if you bless Israel. You do something for Israel, you can count on something coming into your life from me. Cool. I mean, even if you're just greedy for God's blessings, which I don't think is very much, I don't think there's really a problem for that. You want God's blessings in your life, you could stop there. Even if you see that Jesus on the cross, standing, laying there, just dying, said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You can understand then that they were forgiven and that they're not out of God's plan. So they're still the Israel that God has a promise for. If that's not enough, then root for this 144,000 that's going to be on scene, man. I don't know if it's going to be this big force we can count or if they're just among us. But there's going to be 144,000 of them. Doc Bishore at Mariners used to joke around. He'd say, you know, if you want to know who they are, I think he didn't really mean this. And I think he took this joke from somebody, an Israeli soldier. But he said, if you want to know who they are, just a machine gun into a whole crowd, the ones that are still standing are them. Okay. you guys know Doc Bishore recently passed away? That guy was on fire for Israel. I look at Mariners, in fact, and the abundance there, and Doc's been up in that upper room for how long now? Just blessing Israel, blessing Israel, blessing Israel. Mariners is all that it is. That's my home church. All right, guys, let's bring it home here so you guys can all go off and take on the world for your families at work and whatever you have to do today. There's a big war coming. Who knows what it's going to look like? You know, there's a lot of theories. Ezekiel 38 talks about it. It's from the north. Some say Russia. I don't know. Turkey gets involved. Iran. Whatever. Israel is this tiny little sliver of land. If you look at a map of the Middle East, if you zoom out far enough to where you can see all the other countries, but you can't even tell where Israel is, right? You got to like zoom in on the Google Maps. You know what Google Maps are? Never mind. Hashtag teach them Google Maps another time. You zoom in, you do this with your fingers anyway. It's a tiny piece of land. It's a fraction of the size of California. The entire country of Israel, I think, is like a sixth the size of this state. They say it's the size of New Jersey. So I don't know where New Jersey is, but that's wherever that is, that place. yeah, I'll go to Google Maps, yeah. Yeah, are you talking to me? Israel's the size of New Jersey. The entire country is the size of New Jersey. It's not that big. And yet, our entire existence, the entire society of the world, and certainly the Middle East, is hinged on that little piece of land. Nothing's been more heavily contested than Israel. I mean, for me, if that doesn't show the evidence of a creator and a God that exists, I don't get it. I don't see how people can understand what's going on and see Israel's place in it and still not believe that there's a God, let alone that it's the God of Israel and the Bible is real. I don't get it. I don't know. Maybe it's from the inside looking out. You know, I don't know. There's perspectives, but I once was lost and now I'm found. So, but this war is coming, and these kids are going to be it's not going to be an easy Holocaust like last time. I'll tell you that much. Israel's ready to go. I mean, they've got nuclear arms. They've got the Iron Dome. You guys know what the Iron Dome is. Okay, the Iron Dome, if anything comes out of the skyline from one of those surrounding countries, because all of Israel's borders are enemies, right? It'd be like looking at the Saddleback Mountains over here, and that's like your worst enemy that wants nothing more than to kill you and your whole family. They're right there, if you can imagine existing in that reality. The Iron Dome is so sophisticated that it can see something coming up. It can measure where it's going to land, and it'll fire a counter rocket and take it out in the middle of the sky. It's America helped give them that and build them that. We keep it supported. That's one of the ways that we bless Israel. And so they're ready. They're ready to go. And it says in the Bible that Israel will stand alone during this war, which makes me wonder, where are we going to be? Right? What are we going to be facing, or what's going to have happened to us that we are no longer a part of defending Israel? And that can be a little bit scary if you think about it and kind of run some of these current threats that we're facing down to an end and figure out if that's what they're talking about. But I don't get all doom and gloom. I don't worry. I know the Lord. So, but what I do know is we are the church, right? American government is not the church. Even some of the American church that's like, you know, this up here is not necessarily always the church. We are hand-to-hand combat of the love type, right? So I'm asking you to check your heart. And God only really deals with issues of the heart. He's worried about where your heart's at, where my heart's at. And ask yourself where you stand with these people and with Israel. And I can tell you that the Bible tells you that if you are following the Lord, the God of Israel, and the Lord of heaven and earth, then once you get there, then that's where your heart does belong. It's supporting Israel. You stand with Israel. You love Israel. Opportunity comes to bless Israel, you bless Israel, you defend Israel. On your Facebook post, if somebody has something, whatever it is, you put a little comment in there saying, this is not exactly true, don't get all rowdy, you know, keep it peaceful. But any chance you get to defend them and speak truth, they're not perfect. I know they're not perfect, nobody is, but we stand with Israel. And so when Jesus comes back, you know, what are we going to be up to? How have we dealt with the nation of Israel? There aren't a lot of people standing with the Jewish people now, so where are his Christians is the question. And in this ministry, in this thing that Ryan and I are doing, and in what God's had me doing these last few years, he gave me the most epic punch in the gut last night and continued it with Sammy in a conversation here where I looked at all these notes and I'm like, okay, Lord, I don't think you want me to just get tied to these notes and read this to the guys. You know, what is it that you want? Where, right? And I just prayed and I waited, and he asked me this question that we all have to ask ourselves, and it's, do you love them? Do I really love these people that I'm trying to get us over there and facilitate? You know, am I just following an order from my commander? Or where's my heart? Do I really love them? And it shook me to tears. And unbeknownst to Sammy, he and I began to talk, and the Lord just began to give that same exact message, and I couldn't shake the goosebumps off. Holy Spirit just fell in the moment. So that is obviously what this is all about. Do you love them? And you could, that transcends all the ministry that we're doing, everything you guys are doing with fighting abortion. You do it because not because, you know, this is an objective and a task like firemen and military can get. It's a love. I want to see the world the way God sees the world. I want to love the way he loves, and I want to hate the things he hates, and I want to stand against the things that he would stand against. I want my heart to be like his. And if you do that, then it's going to include a true love for people, even though you thought they drove you crazy. They're still going to drive you crazy. They still drive me crazy when I step out. But this is all about that love. Amen?
Amen.
It's the love for the people that we're serving, and it's the love that God has for each and every one of us. So with that, I think I've exhausted my time here and left off on a good point.
Let's give him a hand.
Thanks.
The man's going to fire this microphone up because he didn't know I was going to be using it here. Kevin, you and Seth, come up here. Will you do that? Ryan, where are you? Come up here, Ryan.
You want this, Pete?
I got it going now. There you go. Thank you very much. You know, guys, this is a passionate message. Amen. Nobody doubts his passion. Ryan has been up here and he's taught many times, and we don't doubt his gifts, his passion. Seth and Kevin, just seeing young men like these guys who have the passion you have and what you're out there doing, we got to stand behind these guys. We got to stand with these guys. We're the generation that has the resources to do that. And God's arms are not so short that he can't get it around these guys and get it around us, putting our arms around these guys. And today I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. But we don't just come up here and just challenge guys. We want to make a commitment. You need to make a decision today about getting behind these guys. Or you may know other men in this generation that you want to stand with and stand behind. And you already are in some ways. But I'm going to challenge you this morning to stand with these guys. I want you to stand with them in prayer. I want you to put them on your prayer list. I want you to stand with them and financially get behind them. Stick some money in their pocket today. Write them a check today to their ministry. Help Seth get out there and get the word out and train people in how they can help and save babies' lives in the womb and take the shame away from our country and our nation. Get behind these guys that's going to Israel. Plan on being on one of those teams. Plan on financially getting behind them. So I'm going to ask you to stand right now, right where you are. Just make a stand. Let's get up. And I'm asking you to make a stand to get behind these guys in what they're doing and what God has called them to do. They need our help. They're not going to do this on their own. We're a band of brothers. We're a body of Christ. We stand together. And we stand with these men. We got Trevor here. Trevor's mid-20s. He and his dad are going to be on Focus on the Family here in February. And we want to stand with these guys. And we want to stand with Kevin right here and with Trevor and all these men that God has called. So whatever that commitment is, I'm going to have just a few moments of silence. And you just ask God, how do you want me to help? You want me to pray? You want me to go on a trip? You want me to write out a check? You just ask God what he wants you to do to get behind these young men. And it's a thrill and an honor to see this generation of young men coming up to serve Christ with the passion and the boldness and the giftedness that they have. I'm going to be quiet and give you just a minute or two. Ask God what he would have you do. Father, we just thank you right now for these young men. We thank you for their heart, their passion. We thank you for the way you're opening doors in Israel, and you'll open doors for Seth and Kevin as they go about their ministry. And Father, we thank you for raising them up. We pray that you'd put a hedge of protection around them and their family, their marriages, that you would protect them from the evil one, that you would make the crooked way smooth, that you'd give them favor as they go about their ministry. Give them favor in the eyes of other people. who just want to get behind them and support them, encourage them, give them power in their lives as they've given you power in theirs. Give them power with other men and people in their lives, in their ministries. And Lord, raise up more men just like these young men. And we pray that we, mostly an older generation, can get behind this. And we could see you just raise up right in our midst, right out of our band of brothers and guys we don't even know yet that are going to be raised up. But Lord, it's your plan. And just as was shared with us this morning, that Phil said, we're the plan. We're part of the plan, and we want to get behind it. And so, Lord, we just give you the glory and the honor. It's Jesus Christ that hung on the cross, that we could all be taking a stand today to move and advance his kingdom forward through young men like these. And we'll give you all the glory and the credit in Jesus' name. And all God's men said, amen. Amen. Go give them heaven, guys.